afternoon. About 2 years ago, can't remember exactly where I saw the advertisement, whether it was in a magazine or an email or something. I saw an advertisement for a robotic ball made by the company Orbotics. The robotic ball being called Spiro. And when I saw it, I started thinking about the possibility, could something like this be utilized, since it can be controlled by a smart phone of some kind or a tablet, can it be utilized to actually quantify surface properties of putting greens? So after I bought one, I brought it home to my lab, aka my home, and started testing it on the carpet, concrete, wooden surfaces, things like that. And with different power settings or speed settings that it had, I could definitely see that the ball simply responded differently to these surfaces. So, because I'm not a software developer, I went and found me some nerds over in the crop science and engineering department, and my head nerd in charge is Andrew Marshall, who now works for Mobiquity in Gainesville, Florida as an Android developer. And he along with a couple other students who since have moved on and done other things, helped me to develop some software to actually extract the data from the device as it's rolling across. We refer to this as the Spiro Turf Research app, and it actually links to the ball, and we have actually three different settings. You can put it in a lap rolling setting, a limp setting, which actually we can do ball drops, and a jump mode setting where it actually will jump on the surface for a certain period of time. With this, I want to say this clearly, it's a research device. It's what we developed for. We did not develop it for golf course superintendents, although we certainly are not telling them don't go buy it. We just try to make sure we clearly understand that we made this for all of you and for anybody who does research in turf. We leave everything really open as far as its potential use, as far as its data rate, which we set at 42 hertz, speed that you can vary completely, number of laps, run time, stop times, things like that. It's very wide open, even though we say these are our standard settings. You as researchers could potentially manipulate anything you want. When I say it does laps, what I'm saying is it starts off at a starting position, it rolls in the forward direction, stops, turns around, comes back, and that would be, down and back would be two laps. It would do that four times. Our standard settings are at eight laps. And then it extracts all of the data, again, at 42 measurements, 42 hertz, 42 measurements per second. The data that it collects, this is the accelerometer view, the accelerometer data. It collects acceleration and velocity data, which is the side-to-side movement of the ball, Y, which is the forward and reverse direction of the ball, and Z, which is the up and down movement of the ball as it rolls across the surface. The X is really, the one thing to understand about the ball is once it sets the direction it wants to go, it tries its hardest to stay on that path and at that given speed if it's able to achieve its desired speed. There's also gyroscopic data that's actually extracted as well. The one of interest is going to be the pitch data we collect, and pitch is the angle at which it shifts the bottom weight within the ball itself upward in order to begin rolling forward and to maintain a constant speed. So the greater the angle in degrees, the actual more resistance to the surface. We output data in CSV files, which you then can directly download to Dropbox, Google Drive, email to yourself, and we have actually other options now. The acceleration data, the velocity data, and then we actually summarize all of that data into means, range, maximum, minimum, standard deviation for more ease of analysis. To give you an idea of the amount of data that we're actually extracting, here's the Y speed, which is the forward and reverse direction. And you can see it actually starts off at, there's the arrow, starts off at zero. Rapidly it accelerates and tries to achieve a steady state speed, and then stops, comes to a complete stop, turns around, and then reinitiates the roll, trying to achieve again a steady state speed. And you can see the eight peaks there, meaning it had eight laps in this case. If you look at the sheer amount of data we're actually generating with this, we have 14 data variables we collect at 42 hertz, and a standard run is about 24 seconds with the eight laps. That generates, for those 14 variables, generates about 14,000 data points with one simple run of the device. If you looked at, you wanted to use this for a trial, there are three, if you had a three treatments, three rep trial with three subsamples that you wanted to do, you would generate almost 400,000 data points. And then with 10 collection times, you're almost 4 million data points. And I bring this up to say that we really do have kind of a big data device. And big data is all the rage right now. And I'm really trying to understand what big data is, because we're producing a lot of numbers, and is that really big data? But I want to be in the in crowd. So people say, well, big data is like teenage sex, all right? Everyone talks about it, nobody really knows how to do it. Everyone thinks everyone else is doing it, so everyone claims that they are doing it. And I want to be cool, so we're doing big data, okay? That's what I say. So, and also, you know, for those of you who don't know, you look up and you say, well, there's little data and then there's big data. And that's not big data either, okay? Star Trek fans, no? Okay. I can tell you this, when we look at the sheer amount of data we're generating, what we do know, this is about about as good a representation as I can give you, is that we are just scratching the surface as far as the amount of data we're extracting and what does that data mean. And what I'd like to do now is just talk about some of the basic things that we are interested in when it comes to putting green management. Of course, we have certain types of testing we can do with stimping, with looking at trueness of roll, looking at smoothness of roll with certain devices out there. And I only have a stimp meter. I don't have any of these other devices. But the one thing that we'd want to ask in this is just how good is my data? Is the data even meaningful? Is it consistent in what's coming out? And to do this, I'm just going to compare two different surfaces. They're actually the same golf course, two greens right beside each other, because they have both Bermuda and bentgrass greens at this course. One was a winter killed, a lot of winter damage, Bermuda, very, very clumpy, very uneven, stimping about an 8.6. The other was a smooth creeping bentgrass green, stimping about a 9.9. And when we started just looking at a basic data set, just to illustrate a point very simply, when we looked at these two surfaces, you look at this Tiff Dwarf surface, it has a pitch average of about 17.1 after we did three runs. If you look at the Y speed, it's about 52.8. And you can see from the faster bentgrass green, actually, it actually has a lower pitch, meaning the angle of the weight had to be lower in order to maintain constant speed, and it was able to achieve a faster speed as well. And as well, as I said, these were very bumpy surfaces there, and all I can say is that they were. I didn't have anything else to compare that to. You had a very low-quality Bermuda grass surface that had a Z acceleration range in G of 4.5, which means that's the total range of the data that was observed, and then an X acceleration of 3.2. What does that mean? Well, the one thing I can say that it means is that the bentgrass green that was much smoother and much truer, probably, was much lower numbers, 2.2 and 2.1. So these types of studies, just these basic comparisons of trying to understand what's, you know, these visually different surfaces that we see, we've come up with some basic numbers just to say to ourselves, well, what does the data actually mean? And if you look at our Y speed, we give an average of about 52 to 62 centimeters per second. It's kind of the range of data you're going to see. The pitch is about 10 to 14 degrees is typically where you're going to see with lower numbers being faster. Z acceleration, which we're now calling our bumpiness measurement, or smoothness measurement, is less than 2.5 centimeters per second. Per second is actually the acceleration. You want to see ranges below that number, and then X acceleration less than 2.2 centimeters per second for trueness of roll. But like I said, I didn't have any of the other devices to compare bumpiness and trueness, but I do have a stimp meter. So what I wanted to do is actually collect even more data to really strengthen our understanding of what green speed was. So we actually, you know, can we correlate our spiro measurements to a stimp meter? We got a group of us together who were early adopters, and we set up a data compilation page through Google Drive. We did standard settings, and Mike Posey, who's at Hoover Country Club, Bill Brown, Larry Stoll, and Clay Bennett and Clint Waltz at University of Georgia. We compiled about 145 different measurements. We did standard settings, and then we compared stimp, Y speed average, max, and pitch average, and I analyzed the data and plotted it in our studio. And I submit to you that here's a possible explanation for the relationship that we see between Y speed and stimp distance, being a simple linear model in this case. And you can see that with faster Y speed is going to correlate with a 62 Y speed is going to possibly predict a stimp distance of about 25, a Y speed of about 62 is going to possibly predict a stamp of about 12, and a Y speed of about 51 possibly predicts a stamp of about 6. So we do have a rather strong linear correlation in this case. And the same thing that we found with pitch average, although it was an inverse relationship in this case, in that a pitch of around 8 is going to predict a stamp distance of around 12.5 to 13, and upwards of a pitch around 18 is going to predict right around 6 to 7 stamps. So we have fairly strong correlations with these, linear correlations with these speed measurements, at least as far as our standard setting. So in many ways, we've been able to discuss stamp and speed with people using our data and predict this rather well. I don't want to stand up here and say that we can predict everything that the device is great. I think that's disingenuous, because one of the issues that we definitely have seen is that as the ball rolls faster, then the the X and Z variables tend to skew more, okay? Because the ball is simply rolling faster, if it hits some type of aberration in the surface, it's going to see greater vibration within the ball, and you're going to see greater ranges in the data that's actually collected. So just to show you a little bit of this data in comparison of different speeds for impact on X and Z acceleration, is just looking at different power settings actually for the ball from 10 to 60, just to show you what the data looks like. Here's some box and whisker plots along with the outlying measurements for given runs at 10% all the way up to 60%, and this is X acceleration in centimeters per second, actually plotted on the Y axis. And as you can see, as we increase in speed, especially as we get above 30%, you know, which is not only increasing the power, but it's also increasing the speed, we do begin to see greater skewing of that data, meaning that what we're going to have to do for surfaces is we're going to have to standardize at a given speed in order to measure these X and Z variables. Okay, and you see the same thing for Z acceleration, that we see increased as we increase the power, we see an increase in the detection. Even though it's the same surface, you see greater bouncing of the ball at greater speed. So we've got to standardize the speed in order to measure that. So what do we know? I think we have good correlations right now when it comes to speed. I think we have good correlations when it comes to bumpiness and trueness. At least we have a better understanding of the data we're actually gathering. But that's not to say there's not more to be extrapolated out there. There's still tons of data buried within. One of the things we're working on right now is being able to calculate the steady state speed at which it maintains a given speed and being able to compare that. And then also the time it takes to reach that steady state speed as a potential measure for putting green speed. I think there's going to be new variables that potentially could be named out there we could come up with when it comes to describing putting greens from the data we're actually extrapolating that could be used. And all this, I want to make sure you understand my mindset. And a lot of this, there's a great book called Biopunk, and I recommend you read it. It's about everyday people who just try to come up with simple solutions for complex problems in society and not being afraid to try new and different things in order to answer complex questions. And that's, this is biopunking putting green speed, I guess, is what we're trying to do in many ways. And I've been doing a lot of bioinformatics as well. I'm going to make this final point. And a lot of the bioinformatics software that's out there is free. But the problem is it's not really free. It was multi-million dollar grants from the NSF and the NIH that went into developing those softwares. Okay? And so we're not going to get that for putting green quality management. We're not going to get NSF grants for that. So with that in mind, we have kind of adopted the name of Turpin Informatics is the name in which we sell the SphereoTurf research app. And you can get it on Google Play at this time for a nominal fee in the grand scheme of things. So that's it. I'll answer any questions if I have time. Yes?
I'm curious if
Yeah. So the jerk and the jolt. Yeah, take the first.
Well, jerk jolt is taking further down.
Yeah.
More differentiating, integrating gets you velocity and displacement.
Yeah. So one of the problems we've run into is just a basic computer software programming issue with that. In that we can go into Wolfram Alpha and do those calculations, but coming up with a way to actually take the data we have and write code that could actually do that and then output that in an Android device has been the one thing. And yeah, you could do it in Excel, but I want to see that in the device. Yeah. So, yes, one more.
How big was the plot to do 8 runs?
8 runs runs about 4 to 6 feet, depending on the speed of the green.
And width as well?
Width varies with if you have slope in one direction, or some of the balls actually. Instead of turning 180 degrees, they'll turn 179 or 181 degrees. You know, and so you'll get a little bit off. So, yeah.
Okay,
thanks.